Welcome to Absolute Truth Absolutely, the weekly podcast powered by LWYM and your host, Gio. If you're uncompromising in your search and preservation of the truth, you've come to the right place. Now here's your host, Gio, with Pastor Jesus Martinez.
Hello, ladies and gents. Welcome to a new episode of Absolute Truth Absolutely. And before we continue with our program today, we want to wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas. It's coming upon us in just a few days, and we want to extend our best wishes to every single one of our listeners. As always, with me, I'm Giovanni, of course. For those of you that don't know me, you're probably listening to this podcast for the first time. With me, as always, is the pastor of Living Word Church in Miami, Florida, and my father, Jesus Martinez.
Well, thank you, Gio, for once again allowing me the privilege to share in this podcast pulpit and to share God's word with God's people. And dittos on the best wishes. I, too, join you in saying Merry Christmas and a happy and blessed New Year to all of our listeners.
We don't say happy holidays here. We're not Kwanzaa people. We're not into the whole happy holidays mantra to make the PC people and those that have imaginary feelings, that way we don't hurt those imaginary feelings. We're not into that whole happy holidays. A little interesting side note before we continue. Yesterday, my wife and I, we went shopping, and the person that was at the counter, this is how controlled the commerce in our country is. This is how controlled that the corporations have all of their workers now, that I'm pretty sure that they're sending down memos to all of their individual stores. Make sure to say happy holidays to all of the customers that go inside. That way we don't offend anyone and we don't have to face a lawsuit. And instead of doing the right thing, instead of saying no, Merry Christmas, no, happy holidays. What we say to those people is Merry Christmas. And then it's funny because once you see, or rather, they see that you say Merry Christmas, then they feel at liberty, like, oh, yeah, 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 Merry Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, it's, you know, so it's horrible what is happening, and it's sad, it's pathetic.
It is, definitely is. Now, we want to make sure that we are expanding on a recent sermon that you had brought to the church. And under your recommendation, I thought it was excellent that we should touch upon this a little bit more, because the topic was very well constructed, and it's very biblical in its in its format. And we want to talk today about the trailblazers, or the shapers, if you will, of a new generation, of the new era. Because it's important to understand, and we're bankrolling off what we spoke about last week, that many Christians are deserting sound doctrine in order to follow the ideologies of these so-called trailblazers, because these are the iconoclasts, if you will, the icons of the new generation. And therefore, since they made it, then therefore their ideologies, their dogmas, whatever it is that they espouse, must be the way to make it to the top. But yet, when we read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and on, Paul, writing about what the Holy Spirit speaks, tells us, or gives us, a different story about what would happen in the end times. And I'll read from that. Verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. So here we have a forewarning, if you will, from the Holy Spirit saying in the end times there's going to be a lot of Christians that instead of following the Scripture, they're going to follow doctrines of demons.
And so with that in mind, Gio, I started to read the Stephen Jobs biography. And at a certain point in the early chapters, the biographer states that Jobs considered himself one of the shapers of this era, of this society, because he and others, I guess from the hippie generations, foresaw it. They saw it ahead of time, and they dedicated themselves to shaping it. Then when you listen to Jobs speak in the terms that he speaks of acid, LSD, the trips, and in the terms that he spoke about that even until death, and you make the connection between the acid trips, his Buddhism, and other things that he mentions, you end up, at least for me as a Christian, making the connection between this guy's philosophy, his mentality, his way of looking at things, and demons. And so I started splicing together the people that consider themselves, or that we consider them, the shapers of this new age. And there is a connection that can be made between Jobs and his Buddhism and his acid trips, Marx, Jung, Freud, and their different ways of connecting to the spirit realm. And so therefore, 1 Timothy 4:1, which talks about seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils, it comes into play. And it's important that the reader pay close attention to the fact that it says, in end times. And so I started looking for who have been the shapers, who are the shapers. And I find people like Freud and Jung, psychology. It plays such a huge role in society today. Apple, Steve Jobs, huge, huge, huge role. And then Marx. I mean, the doctrine of communism at one point spread, and it continues to spread, even though under Reagan we thought the thing is dead. Well, take a look at South and Central America. It's alive and well. And so they are definitely the shapers of this generation. And as I continue to, you know, do the background check on these things, for example, a true Marxist will somewhere in his background leave details to his or her dedication to Satan. They write odes and poetry and verses dedicating themselves to Satan. And so you see the connection to the satanic, to the demonic. The same thing with Carl Jung and his spirit guide, Philemon. And the same thing with Freud and his use of cocaine. And now with Stephen Jobs, you find that his connection to Buddhism and his acid trips lead you to the same place. So at the end of the day, Gio, what I see is a connection between these people, the demonic, and therefore the shape that today's society has is demonic.
Yeah.
The engineering is demonic. I could even get into Islam.
Yeah.
Anybody that knows about how these revelations came to Muhammad must conclude, at least from a biblical perspective, there was demonic activity there. And so we see all these people and movements shaping today's society, and there is a definite connection to the demonic. And so therefore, 1 Timothy 4:1 has come to fruition. It's being fulfilled in front of our eyes.
Absolutely. Two things I want to emphasize on. Number one, you were mentioning about these people who subscribe to Marxism, Leninism, communist ideals, and stuff like that. They always leave a paper trail, if you will, of dedications to Satan. We need not go far. Saul Alinsky, who shaped the views of individuals like Bill Ayers and Barack Obama. At the very beginning of his book, Rules for Radicals, he dedicates his book to the great rebeller, Satan.
Yep.
That's who he dedicates the book to. And most people who submit themselves or adopt the ideas of Saul Alinsky, Alinskian doctrines or Marxist doctrines or Leninist doctrines, they try to suppress that.
Yes.
Because they understand that if most people see this, they're going to say, whoa, wait a minute, this is what the president espouses? This is what leftist-leaning people in our country espouse? I want no part of that. It would automatically scare them. But again, this is part of their tactic to hide this away from the mainstream so that people would eat this thing up in droves. They could subtly inject the poison themselves without noticing that it's actually poison. That's the first point. Second point that I would want to make. You hear Christians, because I'm imagining that the wheels of many Christians' minds are turning now, saying, oh, but wait a minute, but Steve Jobs was such an influential figure in our day and age. He's an icon. Just like we mentioned at the beginning of the program, just because you become a figure in society, in the culture, it doesn't mean that what got you there is good in the first place. Let's talk about, for a second, LSD, and he expands on this in the book, which was written by Walter Isaacson, which, by the way, if anyone has read the book, and it's like you mentioned a few Sundays ago, this guy's head, we're talking about Steven Jobs, his pride is plastered all over that book. He personally went and sought out Walter Isaacson so that he could write a biography about him.
Yep.
Usually biographers, they themselves sit back and say, who are the influential people in society, and I'll write about them. That usually doesn't occur when you have a guy coming up to you and pestering you saying, write a biography about me. Write a biography about me. That's pretty prideful.
That's basically the way it went down.
Yeah, that's pretty prideful. And it wasn't until his wife, Steve Jobs' wife, came to him and said, look, you need to write this book because he's infected with cancer and he might not be around that much longer. I suspect, this is what I suspect, and I don't know if you do. I don't want to speak for you on this, but I think you agree with me. I think that they understood that Jobs' time on Earth, so to speak, was limited. And this is why they went up to him and said, look, 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 write this. And it was kind of funny how everything played out where just, what was it? I think just a few weeks after he had died, the book had come out. So it's obvious that they knew that it seems like Jobs' time was limited on Earth.
I think this is his attempt at immortality and legacy.
Yeah.
And so he said, I need a biographer who is respected, who just by the very fact that his name will be on the book will provoke others to read. I mean, this guy was a case. Job was a case.
Yeah. Well, and just to let you speak on a little bit more about it, I don't want to take up that much time, is what I was going to say was the following. You'll notice that, again, Christians and many others will defend Jobs and others. Well, they got to the top. They're icons. Why can't we pay attention to what they say? Why can't we adopt what they say? Again, the belief system doesn't justify the means, so to speak. Let's talk about just for a second the
LSD. Getting to the top for us is not about financial issues. It's about sanctification. It's about becoming Christ-like.
Well, but in many Christians' minds, you know that in our day and age, many of them are materialist. They think that prosperity, health, wealth is the gospel.
Absolutely. This is what the prosperity movement has brought us. And once again, we ask, where did the thought come from? And we peel back to 1 Timothy 4:1 and we go, if it made us move away from Christ, from godliness, and from true Christian service, it has to come from the heart of Satan.
Yep.
And so, Gio, now when you consider the engineering behind this society, you clearly understand Romans 12:2, which clearly tells Christians not to allow themselves to be shaped by the era, by the moment, by the age. And now it becomes very clear. Why not? Because demons have shaped this hour, this age, this generation. And how did they do it? Well, they used men. They used people and movements that eventually they were successful in, you know, penetrating the media. And these people are very good at this and at making their beliefs popular. And so now it has infected Christianity. You see someone like our president talk about collective salvation. That's not biblical. And you see in many, 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 many Christian circles, Christian psychology, when we have discussed on previous podcasts the origins of this. And now, like you said, many Christians, they look to Steve Jobs as a hero, as an icon, and they just dismiss the fact that the guy believed that he was a shaper, and he tapped into the future as to how it should be shaped, how it should be, via his meditation, his knowledge of Zen Buddhism, and his acid trips. And so why would we embrace that?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things that we can, I guess for lack of a better term, bankroll off of that, so to speak. Or I guess I would say expound on that. Number one, when you read his book, and this is something you were mentioning, he continued to praise LSD up until his death.
Yes.
And one of the things that he mentions in the book by Walter Isaacson is that LSD gives you the opportunity to view into this collective consciousness. And it's not until you're finally down from that trip where you finally are aware that there is a collective conscience out there. And he goes on to say in the book, and I'm paraphrasing, that those that tried LSD in the 70s, that were part of the hippie generation that tried the drug and experimented with it over and over again, they saw the future in a way through LSD, and they sought out to shape the future because of what they saw in this collective consciousness, which is what Steve Jobs gave himself over to do.
Well, yeah, when you think about it, he goes on to say, and I'm paraphrasing myself, that when they came out of these trips, they weren't necessarily aware of all the details of the trip, but they were aware of this greater conscience. And once out of the trip, they strove to reach that collective consciousness, that greater consciousness, and this is today's era. So he was a shaper. He considered himself one of the shapers of this generation. When we look back to Marx, when we look back to Jung, when we look back to Freud, when we look back to Muhammad, what do they have in common? Somehow, all of these people tapped into the demonic.
Yeah. Well, isn't it true or not? And let's look at this from another angle now. Isn't it true that there's this, expounding again on the Steven Jobs issue, if you notice that there's this culture surrounding Mac, Apple, that if you are a Mac owner, then you're part of the in crowd. You're part of that intellectual crowd. You're part of that group of creative geniuses that are going to forge, trailblaze the future. And if you're a Windows guy, then, you know, you're not a trailblazer. You're not cool. I mean, remember the commercials that they came out with just a few years ago, that you got Mac, the cool hipster kid, and then the nerdy guy is the Windows dude, and he can't do all these things. And of course, the Mac, you know, the mentality that Steve Jobs brought to this whole culture of Mac, if you will, or Apple, is something that people have adopted because of his ideologies. The same way that you were mentioning of the whole LSD trips and how they saw the future, he brought that same mentality to those that buy his product because they bought into his ideology of, if you buy this product, then you will be part of the movers and the shapers, those that will shape future societies. That's the whole aura now that surrounds Apple.
As you read the book, you hear on a couple of occasions, again, early in the book, that he managed to connect humanity and science. And you hear that over and over again. Wozniak was the brain behind the circuitry of the boards. And he wanted to give away this technology so people could have it and enjoy it. But it was the extra hippie Jobs who said, no. People have to pay, and they have to pay through the eye for this. As a matter of fact, the Apple II was priced at $666.66. And in the book, it says that none of them knew that this was making reference in the book of Revelation to the Antichrist.
Right.
And we are supposed to buy that, even though that Jobs grew up in church. And it was a question to his pastor that his pastor did not answer properly that made him renounce his, quote, Christianity, unquote. And in that same year, the Omen came out. So there are a lot of hints, subtle hints, that would lead you to believe that this guy was more hypocritical than he would lead you to believe. Because, you know, for true hippies of that generation, it was just about the movement. It was about peace, the flower child. This guy was in it for the money.
Yeah.
And so he just basically used whatever instruments, whatever vehicles were out there to push his agenda. And again, he saw himself as a shaper. And what I continue to ask myself is, why do Christians look up to this man? Again, you mentioned it. Well, he had financial success. But the success that we look for as believers is to become godlike, is to imitate God. And by that, I don't mean we are little gods. You know how much I detest that doctrine. By that, I mean that we become imitators of God, like Paul said in his letter to the Ephesians, in Christ-like, not in the emergent sense of Christ-like, but in bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Yep. And so for me, 1 Timothy 4:1, now that I've begun to connect the dots as to who are the shapers of this age, has become very, very clear.
Another thing that is very interesting is when you look at Steve Jobs, and again, we're using him as a prime example of the trailblazers, if you will, the shapers.
Well, he's the most recent.
Exactly.
We have also tapped a little bit or spoken a little bit about Carl Jung.
Yeah.
And Freud and Marx. I'm sorry I interrupted.
No, it's a good point. But nevertheless, one of the things that we want to focus in on, and I think we have done so, is that there are people such as these that they know the power that they wield, and they use it to its maximum advantage. Not saying that it's advantageous for society, but rather to their maximum advantage. There's a huge difference between the two. And I think that it's important to note that many, many, many believers have bought into this idea now of his Zen Buddhism. Zen Buddhism, if I'm not mistaken, is one of the proponents of this type of mysticism, pantheism. Everything is God, and God is in everything. And what happens? One of the late proponents, or the biggest proponents of Zen Buddhism, was Steve Jobs. And it got a lot of Christians to say, you know, if it worked for him, it might just work if we Christianize it, you know, between quotation marks, if we Christianize it a little
bit.
How
about the very successful Phil Jackson?
Well, Phil Jackson, the Zen master. I mean, that's the title that they give. They even use it in an Audi commercial for crying out loud.
But you know, Gio, another connection needs to be made here. And that is that in the case of Marx, we're talking about political doctrine. In the case of Carl Jung and Freud, we're talking about psychological doctrine. You know, everybody's got some kind of a disease now. And in the case of Steve Jobs, we're talking about being the facilitator of the instrument that would take it to your house personally.
Yeah.
And again, I think I have proven, and of course we have more details, but time just doesn't allow it, that there is a connection to the demonic. And so we see one part of the connection dealing with government issues, political issues. Then we have the mental engineering side of it through psychology, and then the instrumentality that takes it to your home. And all of them, just listen to what they said themselves, somehow tapped into the demonic.
Yeah. Well, you got it. In essence, what you're saying, in other words, you're getting it from different sides, all different angles. They're all coming at you from different sides. And here's one last point that I want to bring before we close this week's program. One of the things that you'll notice that Walter Isaacson mentions in the preface of his book is that Jobs told him, interview my enemies, interview my friends. And there's a lot of nasty stuff that goes in the book about Jobs' past that are pretty, I mean, they're nasty. They're just downright nasty. But yet the way that they subtly present Jobs as this icon, it's almost like they try to erase all that bad stuff so that all of that bad stuff was part of his making in becoming an icon. And I find that highly interesting how we discount all of the bad stuff that he did in his life to get to the top, because at the end, he did make it. And a lot of Christians also adopt this form of thinking, which is erred, of course.
It's interesting that more time is given in the book, at least in the early part of the book, to his lack of hygiene than to some of the other really, really dark things about Steve Jobs. But again, this is my perspective on it. This is the way I see it. As I looked at 1 Timothy 4:1 and Romans 12:2, and very specifically end times, I started to look for the shapers, because Satan is not going to come on board and say, here I am, I'm Satan, I'm here to reshape you.
Yeah.
So I looked for the instruments, the vessels that he would use. And lo and behold, as I started coming up with, you know, the things that are in play today, Islam, psychology, communism, and, you know, electronics, it was easy to make the connections after that.
Absolutely. It's, again, it's coming from all different angles, from every single corner. And I think that we as believers, we have to be attentive, aware of what is going on around us, and make sure to always guard our hearts and those of our family members. Because we're living in a day and age where deceit is being promulgated. It's being disseminated at almost 5 cents a pound, one would say, even through all of these mediums. So one must be very careful what one adopts, what one views, and to protect one's spirit. I think it's very important. Thank you again for being with us, and we'd like to invite all of our listeners once again to drop us a line. If you have any suggestions for future topics, for future shows, please do so. Direct those emails to info@lwim.org, info@lwim.org. One last time, we want to wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas and also a Happy New Year. Until the next occasion that we meet, may the Lord shine His face upon you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or suggested topics for future shows, send them our way to info@lwim.org. That's info@lwim.org. Visit our website in order to download past episodes and subscribe to our free email updates. The web address is www.lwim.org/ATA. This has been Absolute Truth Absolutely. Absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty.